listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. I'm getting the okay, I can do this. Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 p.m. and we are live on Kingdom Recovery. And this is a program where we talk about, it's really like a therapeutic program for biblical therapy. How's that? Uh-huh. 12-step programs, like I was saying, therapy. If we just have our foundation based on biblical principles, the Bible, what the Bible tells us, in any kind of therapy, relationship, work environment, no matter where we are, that's a solution to any kind of turmoil that's going on in ourselves or in the environment. And what we try to do here at Kingdom Recovery with James, hi.
Hello.
I'm sorry. With James Wrench is talk about that. How can we bring biblical principles, commands from God, laws and principles, his word into our life, into everyday life? And I believe, because, you know, I've been a member since 1991, that the 12 steps is godly inspired, and they are biblical principles. And that's the first time in my life that I ever received, I was taught, you know, not to steal and do those things, but this was like good moral values outside of, you know, well, if you, you know, if without compromise. Okay, so I believe that these steps are divinely inspired, and Bill W. and Dr. Bob were born again. Bill talks about his born-again experience, and I do believe that if all therapy and all the wounds we walk around with, first of all, we really shouldn't have any wounds when we get born again, but our soul, our mind, will, and emotion still needs sanctification, so our spirit is whole, made whole. And what we talk about here is how do we get our mind renewed so that we can physically be transformed, meaning live a life of righteousness, because we already are in our spirit. How do we manifest that in our life here on earth? This is when we need that stuff. When we die, right, James? It's going to be peace and love and joy, and we're not going to need to practice these principles in all our affair.
And I often think about how, because people don't realize the spirits and stuff they deal with, and how when they come out of their body, how different they're going to feel. And then, like, if they're worried about stepping out because of what people think, and all that'll be gone, all the fear, and they're going to think, man, they're going to be going before the Lord and like, oh man, I wouldn't have had all that stuff, man. I'd have done a lot more.
Amen. And that's why we here in Kingdom Recovery, we talk about how to apply those 12 steps in a biblical way. And we talked about step 1 through 3. And that's really, those three steps are the key, because it's coming to Christ, you know, Jesus Christ. You know, the first step, I always say it's getting to know Jesus, accepting Jesus as your Messiah. You know, when I confess that I'm powerless and I need power and my life is unmanageable, it's who do you say I am? I have to admit that I am a sinner, basically, that I really can't on my own. I need a savior. And only Jesus is the savior of the world, you know, here on earth. So unless I receive Jesus, you know, accept him as my Lord and Savior, as the Messiah of my life, the God of my life, and not and take myself off the throne, or anger, bitterness, drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, take that off the throne and stop going to those things to try to get the power that I need to feel and to live free, liberty, freedom, right? Like you're saying, when you get delivered, even the first day you don't drink. If somebody's listening and you have time in AA or in sobriety, not even in AA, just say you stopped doing something, not only drinking, say you stopped doing something that really had a hold of you, smoking. And the first time you realized you went a certain amount of time without it, you felt liberated. You felt free. You felt different. And that's what deliverance is about. And the fourth step, 1, 2, and 3 is about the Son, the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit so that we can receive the power that we need to be able to look at our lives and change the thinking. Okay? We can't do it. We can't become spiritual beings. I mean, yeah, we can't become spiritual beings without the Holy Spirit. I mean, we are created spiritually, but we're in a demonic realm. If there's any influence or any kind of religious belief that I have before I'm born again, it's not of God. You know, I would just say, because only the Holy, it's not of Jesus. How's that? That'd probably be better because I don't want to, you know, shake people up here. It's not of Jesus if you're not believing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus is the one who gave us the Holy Spirit. He died so that we can have his Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. He petitioned to the Father, to God, that we receive the Holy Spirit. He didn't ask that we all go to heaven when he goes to heaven. He said, I pray that they stay here mm-hmm. and receive the gift of power, Holy Spirit, that you have given me, I want to give to them so that they can walk in righteousness, holiness, peace, joy, love, and spread the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And be a living demonstration, correct.
And demonstrating and, God's power, I mean.
Yeah, and demonstrating his power, right. His
doing the same things Jesus did.
What would I say? His disposition. His nature, his divine nature is the disposition. Now, we can build our character, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing to line up with his divine nature because our character was off, you know? That's something we can grow, and God gives us fruit, and he wants us to grow that fruit. And James did a whole thing when I wasn't here on the fruit, and we will do it again because 6 and 7, you need to know the fruit in order to walk and grow the fruit, right? So step 3 is now giving our life, turning our life over, our will, our mind, mood, will, and emotions, and imagining everything that we are to God, the Father, right? So we have the Son, Holy Spirit, Father God. Once we make that decision and trust and know that God loves us, and there's not a thing, a person, place, or thing in the world that can love us more, and he protects us and he's with us, it's easy to take a look at ourselves. Because we start to know that that's not who God says we are. So even if it's hurtful, it looks bad on paper because they do it in a way where it's like categories, I'll call them, you know. And I think they're really good because as far as I'm concerned, because I deal with mental, you know, that's what I went to school for. That's what I believe, you know, God brought me to this place for and all the things that I went through in my life, not only personally, you know, on both sides, but of both sides, meaning suffering mentally and then being renewed mentally, but also the education and the time that I've had in program. And when I say program, in 12-step programs and in therapy and being a therapist myself, helping other people, I believe that those steps deal with your biopsychosocial. Your needs, the things that God says, why do you worry about these things? You know, your physical, your psychological, and your social. So your spiritual, psychosocial, like all these things are the things that we're always seeking and trying to fix and looking outside of God for here on earth, because we live in the natural until we become spiritual, until we become spirit-filled. And we still struggle with the natural because our minds, our soul, is still on senses mode and not inner senses. It's on outer sense mode. And we have to learn, relearn how to live the way God created us, the true man, the divine being way God created us, the spirit man, because we're stuck in the natural.
Go ahead, Jay. Also where the enemy attacks, spirits attack, is through feelings and thoughts. Mm-hmm. Since we're going to be doing the thing, we might as well.
Yes, it's true. And we are, we're getting ready to do a 5-week, I'll make an announcement now and I'll do it again. So Kingdom Recovery is making, we're going to do a 5-week commitment in October. James Wrench is going to be teaching on healing and deliverance. And not only is he going to be teaching you how to do it, but we're going to be demonstrating it at every class how to do it. So we're going to be actually actively doing healing and deliverance. Praise the Lord.
You're going to do group deliverance over everybody.
Hallelujah. And you can learn things. You can take notes. We'll probably have little gift bags for everybody because that's what I like to do. I'm hospitality. And it's at Treasure Coast Victory Center. And it's every Thursday, the 5-week Thursdays in October. And if you want more information, you can register on, you can call me, you can text me, register, call me, leave a message, 631-745-7980. You could also call the station, and I'm going to leave them the information if you need more information about the healing and deliverance classes that will be taking place in October from Kingdom Recovery with James Wrench teaching, and I'll be like the little sidekick.
And I'll be covering spiritual roots of disease, too.
Praise the Lord.
Much of the disease. If we can get out of an issue we don't know we have, the disease leads. So.
Yeah. And if all goes well, we'll do it again, you know, and so it'll be good. So if you can register, we'd like to know that you're attending so we know how many people are coming and we can be prepared for that. But we have time, so I'm going to have also my website. We'll have it, Kingdom Recovery. I'll give all that information once it gets up and running.
That's 3212, right? US 1. What's the address?
3212 South US 1,
Fort Pierce. So they have an idea.
Yeah.
If they're interested.
Yeah. Well, they can.
Because some people might not go if they're up this way hearing, but want to know where.
Yeah. And I have flyers already made. So if you do text me and say I'm interested, I'll take a picture of the flyer and I'll text it back to you. So you'll have all the information on there. But I think it's really good. It's what we do here at Kingdom Recovery. And then we'll be able to meet you guys, you know, who's ever listening and would like to attend. If you want to bring a friend, that's awesome. I suggest that if you do, you know, have someone that you feel can really use this information, bring that person, you know. Sometimes when people are going into class, that miracles happen all the time. It's so exciting.
And you know, when you get deliverance, when you sit and deliverance is really, people think, oh, the people that are real messed up. No, deliverance for everyone. It's ones that are very sincere for the Lord are the ones that can keep it. Because it's a sin that lets the spirits in. So if they're going to keep doing the same thing, you're not doing them any good by casting anything at them. But with that said, I forget what I was going to say.
Yeah, right. Well, that miracles happen all the time. And I'm going to be honest. There are things that I'm working on today in deliverance on myself. You know, like subtle little things that just don't sit right. And when the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not the way you're supposed to sound when you say something, that I have to pay attention to that. That's saying, okay, there's something in there that's causing that to happen. All right. So it's not always the big things. It's those little subtle things that keep us. And you know, God says it's the little things that can do very big things. You know, the seed is only very little. You got that little seed, it can grow a very big thing. So if I got the wrong seed in there, I got to pluck that out.
Little testimony. I was
in the mine. My spirit's whole.
Okay. Someone asked me to come check the church out for him. Someone I led to the Lord. And I went there and he seemed really sincere, like a pressed in heart and a lot like the House of Prayer people, just really on fire for Jesus, intimacy. And So I went up to talk to him, and he's talking to somebody else, and I guess he thought I heard him because he turns to me and says, yeah, I can't believe it. I've been ministering and healing and prophesying over people for 35 years, and I was in a service a couple of weeks ago, and a demon came out of me. How could a demon be in me? I said, well, to be honest with you, they're like ant beds. It's like we just don't realize how many little things they're doing inside of everybody. I said, if you want, I'll go to lunch with you and talk to you about it. So then about a month or two later, he called, asked if I go to lunch, and we go to lunch, and I start giving him some testimonies. We're sitting at a barbecue place. He brought his son with him, and I started giving testimonies. I'm telling about a guy, this wife left him, and he was like really a mess, and now the Lord, I'm like, he's talking, and I'm like, self-pity always attacks you, whether somebody dies or someone, a divorce is a big one. Anytime that the real depressive thing wants you to kill yourself, that is a spirit. And yeah, I'm not saying you have self, I'm just saying that's the name of it. If you're going to call it out, you need to know its name. And I was talking to the Lord while he's talking, because it was only 2 days earlier, and he was a minister, and his wife left him. And I said, Lord, I can't tell me a self-pity. He punched me in the face, and I wouldn't blame him. His wife just left him. The Lord said, just cast it out. And I'm like, okay, because usually I get him to repent a little and then tell him what I'm doing and tell it to come out. So I just kind of, and he had been around me when I did deliverance. So he did it with me once on someone else. So anyway, I'm like, just look in my eyes. I snuck up on him, you know, I'm like, Lord bless him, comfort. And then right in the middle of it, I'm like, self-pity, come out in Jesus' name. He's like, man, wow. This is amazing. I can't believe this. I feel good. And you come by 2 days, he's doing good. The third day comes by and, well, she's taking this and she's doing that. And he's going on and on and on. I said, do you want to keep that? And he walked back and forth for about 10 minutes right in front of me. You go like 10 feet each way and needs sigh. And anytime you sigh, if I sigh myself, I've been in this 30 years. If I sigh, I look for it because self-pity sighs a lot. And it doesn't have to be, but 75% of the time, there, it's trying to take you down a trail you don't want to go down. So anyway, he says, I guess not. And I said, look at myself. Self-pity, come back at him in Jesus' name. He goes, man, why don't let that thing do that to me? I said, I don't know. He called me about 6 months later. He says, James, I'm just not built like you. I need a wife. The Bible says you find a wife a good thing. I'm not built to be alone. And then he talks about other stuff a while, and he gets done. He says, I said, can I pray? He says, I'm going to go. Let me pray for you. And right in the middle of that command to go, he goes, man, all that feeling of needing a wife just left. I'm telling this pastor these stories. And then the third time I did it about another guy that either somebody died or divorced, I snapped my finger across the table at his head, and he starts hollering, oh my gosh. And so much to the effect, I thought maybe he's making fun of me. I wasn't sure if he was serious. I'm like, what's going on? Oh my God, a spirit just came out of me. I can't believe this. I was like, really? He says, yeah. He says, my wife did something to me months ago, and I'm getting mad at her for no reason. And she didn't even do it. He said, not that she did something. He had a dream she did something. And she didn't even do nothing. She ain't done nothing wrong. And man, it just came out of you when he said that. I didn't even realize that something got in there. So then he said, teach at my the Bible study. He had a little Bible study, about 8 people. So go there. And he was allergic to, they had to put the cat away because allergic to cats. Well, when you go through the deliverance, you get delivered to that commonly. And so then he's playing with the cat, you know, third, fourth day in. And then the ladies, the guy's wife, doing a Bible study. I'm there, and then she's, they say she wants to talk. She starts crying, and she had a, went into bad rheumatoid arthritis, started swelling everywhere, and couldn't wear a ring. And anyway, I'll hurry up. I cast that out of her because they didn't know what they're going to do. Went back to the doctor. All her blood's perfect. The doctor kept saying, I've been in this 30 years. This isn't possible. I don't know. I don't understand. You had rheumatoid when you were here. And she was totally healed.
Praise God.
So just saying anybody can use deliverance.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes when someone else is going through something, same thing with prophecy, keep yourself open to receive, because I was watching something, Derek Prince. And I was just watching it. And all of a sudden, it's like, he wasn't even doing the spirit of poverty. And then he said it. And I was like, what was that? You know? So, you know, that's why we want to participate in these things, partake in things of God. when he's moving and using people to offer information so that we can get new information in our mind and be renewed. So, and that's where the first three steps that we were talking, being honest, open, and willing. The first is honesty. Hope is the second one. And then faith. Those were the promises that you get in those. And so when you're honest, open, that's how it works. That's how we can walk out and learn new things and be open to what God wants to, the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and change in us. So I recommend that you come in October. I think it'll be good. And it'll also, I would love to meet some of the listeners, you know, it's exciting. So if you're free, please think about coming to that. That would be good. So today we're talking about the fourth step, which is searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So this looks a little scary, and that's why if we are not in the first, if we don't have Father, Son, Holy Spirit in our heart, if we're not in a relationship with God fully and understand, start to allow him to lead and guide us in turning our life over to him, it's going to be very difficult. We're going to do this with feelings, our mind. And we have to get out of the way when we're looking at the categories here, which is resentment, fear, and sex harms done to others. So the first one is easy because you're like, resentment? I got a list of people who hurt me. And then it flips on you. But the good thing is it's asked that you write down people, places, and things that, you know, you have ought with, you know, whenever you think about them, you get upset or, you know, fearful, whatever it is. And then you do your fears. But I believe that the first one is your spirit being, you know, when we were dead to the spirit, when we weren't born again. And even if we are, we still grieve the spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, and we act out and feed into the negative, the darkness, the ignorance of what God says. When we're not acting as God would like us to, when we're not utilizing his word in our life, we are the enemy, period. We're choosing the worldly ways, the dark ways, the father of pride, me, myself, and I, ism, right? I, self, me. And what is that? I, self, me. That's the disease, that it's a dis-ease, really, in our body, our spirit, soul, and body, that causes us to stay in darkness. You know, we want to label it in the natural world, all these things, but they're all spiritually rooted. We're spirit beings first. And that's more real than this world, the fact that we're spiritual beings. That's why when you really start to commune with God, the Holy Spirit, you start to see with your heart and sense with your heart and feel with your heart. And it's a way different experience. God gives you discernment. You start to hear him a lot clearer because he's never going to yell. I mean, there are times he sounds a lot louder, but that's probably because you're at your wit's end and there's no other sound but his. But technically, it's that still small voice that gently tells you, that's not working. Or that's the way you should be doing it. Correction. Hallelujah. So the principle of principle of God that grows in, out, and through us is courage. So I looked up the word courage, and courage is a mental or moral strength to face danger, fear, or significant difficulties instead of withdrawing from it. It's sound-minded, sane mind. So what are some of the fruits? It's a fruit. Courage is a fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, sober-mindedness, sound-mindedness, saneness. When you're sane, when your thinking is right, when it lines up with God. When our natural, the human, right, and the spirit man become one, I'm going to say like Jesus Christ, he walked in the actual and the real. Okay? The actual is he walked on earth in the natural, and he walked in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That's so good. High five, James. Okay. And when we can do that, he gives us examples all the time. So it's possible. Anything he did, he says we can do. And greater. Because we have more influence. Things have evolved even more. We have access to things that he didn't have access to at that time. Purposely. I mean, God is a purposeful God. He did this so that, you know, he knew what was going to happen. So he knew he needed more of himself.
Exactly. That's his whole thing. He came in one body, and he can only reach so many people in one body. So he said, I'll just go back and sin and live in millions of bodies.
Yeah, because this world is going to be really crazy.
And then the enemy convinces us, oh, you can't do that. You're not Jesus.
Yep.
And he's like, he's trying to do it through us. And amen. We're pulling him back.
He gave us divine nature. His divine nature lives in us. If we choose to line up with and be obedient to him, you know, that's the key word. People don't like that word. What do you mean? I got to give up something. Yeah. You know, that's it.
It's worth it.
It is so worth it, right?
Now, people talk about like even manifesting demons. I'm like, well, what about manifesting the Lord?
Yes. Right. And that's
let's
what
do
that's
some crazy manifestations for the Lord.
Right, yeah. This way people can say, wow, you know, God really shows up, you know, and not only that, but you see the glory of God through the miracles, through what he's doing through people, his children. You know, like when people tell me about if they experience my son or one of my daughters, and they're like, you know, that's really a good kid. It's really, he really is. I'm like, really? Like, God knows us. He's probably like, really? And it's so sad, you know, like it brings joy to my heart when I hear that, because it's like, oh, okay, like, you know, he knows how to.
He is good.
Behave, right. He is a good kid. So, awesome. But, you know, that's what it is. It's like we want to show God's will, his way, his character, as him being our father, how his children should act with others. You know, Jesus says, I'm one with the Father and we're one with him. So those are really strong scriptures.
And, you know, it says you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And it's if you look translations up, it's the same word as Holy Spirit. It's in the Greek, it says ghost sometimes, but it's the same word. They translate it ghost. I don't know why. But so you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's not only power to do miracles, power to raise the dead, power to heal the sick, power to cast out demons. It's also the power of a changed life, changing
Amen.
Your own life.
Yes.
The power of God giving you. The grace is actually the power to overcome.
Yes.
Because you can't do it yourself.
Amen.
You need the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You come to him and he'll give you the power. You know, everybody tries to get cleaned up before they come. Like, that ain't going to work. No. You can't do it.
No. And that's why this step is so, that's why it's so strategically after the first three, because I have to become born again in order to be able to even look at myself honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, because nobody wants to, I want to hide behind a bush. Even though God sees me, I still want to cover some things up on my own, you know. But when you know who he is and you're sure and you give your life, it makes it a lot easier to take an honest look. It says here, made a searching and fearless. What is fearless? It's courageous, lacking fear, bold, spirited, full of energy, enthusiasm, and determination. Okay, lively, having a specified character, outlook on life or mood. That's what fearless is. So if I want to be honest with myself, you know, if I'm going to be afraid of what I'm going to look at, I'm going to not walk in faith. I'm going to be walking in fear and I'm going to hold back. Fear binds me. Faith projects me, catapults me to want to move more, right? And what's searching? Searching is intend on finding out hidden truths about something, about myself. I want to know. I want God to expose the Holy Spirit to expose those things that keep me from him, the sunlight of the Father. So that's what the whole point of doing these resentment, fear, and harms done, sex harms. You know, when we talk about resentments, we're talking about our spirit being. You know, we cannot see heaven, enter heaven. God says if we don't forgive, if we don't, you know, let go of that stuff that separates us, we can't get accepted in. He says it in his word. And then fear. Fear is going to paralyze me to move forward in what God has for me. He doesn't want me paralyzed like that. He wants me to walk forward, stand up straight, do his will, right? And then harm's done, sex harms, is be fruitful, multiply. It's actually spiritual intercourse. If I can't get along with people, or if I'm isolating myself, how am I going to multiply the kingdom? So they're really good categories if you struggle with, okay, here I go. If you struggle with being accountable, owning, sometimes there are things that happen in my life that I will say, you know, the other person may have done something, but I still have a responsibility today to look at my side of what, how I could have maybe, how I can handle that, that ought. The scripture says when someone has ought with you, not even me having ought with them. So, you know, after I look at all the people that I think wronged me, I got to look at myself and say, okay, how did I may have caused some of that wronging in my life? You know, or what about my own selfishness put me in situations that compromised my well-being?
Or how did I respond?
You know, yeah. How did I respond? You know, all these things.
What's weird is when you get mature in the Lord, someone can do something really bad, and you can get more in trouble for your response, which is no big deal if you're watching from the outside. Well, you didn't even do nothing, but because you're at a place
where
the
you got to watch your mouth.
You can't react back. You
gotta... Yeah, there were things that happened in my walk, especially with, you know, ministry, that I had to be quiet, you know, and stay quiet. And it was hard because, you know, it was almost public. So, but I stayed quiet because I had to take direction. I mean, thank God puts holy, righteous people in my life so that I can feel safe to be able to, because it says here, you know, the fifth step is about sharing it with God, yourself, and another human being. So thank God he gave me this information so that I know the process of how to stay pure of heart. It's so important to be pure of heart so that you – and it's not about purifying your heart. It's already pure. It's about how do I live in that purity, you know? My mind makes it appear, or my mind, my mouth, my actions, dirty. But if I stay with the Spirit, as God sees me, he already gave me purity. I have to know that. And the only way is by renewing the mind and trusting what God says about me, knowing who I am in Christ. And this inventory helps me to get out of me's way, I self and me way, and get into him, his presence. You know, but if I'm all caught up in these, thistles, vines and thistles, then I can't be free to be used or serve God the way maybe I would like to, you know, if I'm holding on to some old ideas. So we want to get rid of those old ideas. So searching is like I said, finding out hidden truths about myself. It's seeking diligently. It's also thoroughly scrutinizing, especially in a disconcerting way, which means unsettling, disturbed. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to look at myself because I fall short of the glory sometimes. And I'm like, I can't believe, you know, there are things also, and it happens a lot with my animals. You know, he teaches me a lot with them. My dog had a situation and I had to give him meds and I got really short tempered because I didn't want to have to struggle. So I took a different approach. I went to God. I said, God, I know you want this relationship to be a good one. How can I be love? And he said, literally, start talking positive to him when you're giving him his medicine. And he takes it.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm serious. He was spitting it out, like, fighting me. I mean, I called the doctor, the vet, and I said, I'm not giving him medicine anymore. I'm not fighting with my dog.
Yeah.
They called me back. Like, I'm like, things have changed. I took a different approach, you know? And that's a lesson. And now when I'm and whenever I'm like, are you okay? You're talking to him, talking him through. You're such a good dog. And he takes it. Imagine, right?
Holy Spirit is probably helping just to help you.
Amen. Because that's something that I was just, that's what I was talking about in the beginning of this. I have to every once in a while watch the way I'm responding to things that aren't going as easy as I would like them to, mm-hmm. you know? And that's, I have to be delivered from that in patience, you know? Mm-hmm. So God's using the things he assigned me to help me practice these principles, you know?
Now this friend of mine really loves the Lord. He really tries to respond good.
God's not doing it to me. He's using them. I need to say that because I don't want people to think God doesn't make these things, you know.
Well, this guy's like, because he needs patience and he's pray the Lord. And so God's making everything rough for him. So we go to get food, it's wrong, or we got to sit there. And whenever I'm around, I'm like, I wish you'd hurry up and get patience so I don't have to go through sitting here to say, you get your lesson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's up to us to take them as opportunities, you know, rather than struggles. So, so we need to be born again. Steps 1 through 3, we get spirited, bold spirited so that we can do this step. And that's where fearlessness comes in. Courage. This promise, step 4, is courage. You know, if I don't believe that God will strengthen me, God is with me, then I'm gonna fall short, even in looking at myself. I'm gonna make excuses. I'm not gonna wanna put everything down there. I'm not gonna wanna get honest. What is moral? Concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. So even the good things, you know, there are some gifts and talents that we have that God has given us that have done some good things in our life. However, they were with the wrong motive most of the time, you know, when we're looking at our lives, especially before receiving the Holy Spirit, there was only one motive, me. You know, I couldn't get out of myself. So so even the good stuff, righteous, holding or manifesting high principles for proper conduct, principles, a person's standard of behavior and beliefs concerning what is and is not acceptable for them to do. So where my will is influenced is where my will will choose. Okay, so what am I allowing influence my life? Is the word influencing me or the world influencing me? People, places, and things, or Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. I have to make a conscious decision every day to turn my life over to God, to invite the Holy Spirit in to teach me, lead me, and guide me, and thank Jesus every day for what he's done, that he's given me this ability to be able to walk out work out my sanctification, the ability to be able to change and line up with God. Okay, so the inventory is a complete list of items such as property, goods in stock, and the contents of a building. So our house, inside our house. This is so good. So we need to clean house, okay? It's our property, our goods, and the contents in our home, in our house, in the building that we live in. We are the tent, the tabernacle, the church. He's in us now. He went to all those places till he finally got to where Jesus died for us so that he can live in us. Praise the Lord. So we are the temple. We are the governor's mansion, the Holy Spirit mansion, who wants to come in, infiltrate us first, our heart. He wants to consume us with the kingdom of heaven so that we can pour out onto others what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, and the mindset of Jesus was the kingdom of heaven is like. And if you want to know about the kingdom of heaven, I say not only study kingdoms, but the word of God. Jesus talks about in the four gospels, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Read only the red if you want to do that, what Jesus said. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So an inventory is taking a complete list and finding out what's good and what's not. It's the same thing in any business, in your home. I clean out my refrigerator. You know, I have to look at dates, what's good, what's not. Same thing with us. We neglect ourselves. What am I doing that's useful to God? What am I doing that's not useful to the world and to God and to people around me, right? So we take a record. We clean house. Like I said, there's three categories: resentments, fears, and harms done. Sex harms, harms done. And the reason why we call it sex harms, because intimate relationships in the natural, so I guess that's why they called it that. So yeah, it is sex. Like if I was to put, one of the examples is, I would put if there was an affair, someone had an affair and they had that on there. They had an affair. I would put the children, because they were affected. Maybe they don't need to know about it, but on both sides, if it was, you know, two people with children, you want to put all those children, because you can't be fruitful and multiply when you're having an affair with other people and those kids get affected by it. So, and we, you know, I might do a Kingdom Recovery 12-step workshop too at Treasure Coast after that. It might be a good idea. I think I'm going to think about it, because I have a board and I do this whole thing so people can actually do it. So that might be something I do. But you can always call me again. I'm going to give you my number, 631-745-7980, if you want any information about what I'm talking about. And, of course, the workshop in the healing and deliverance sessions that in October. Okay. So we take an inventory. The inventory will expose how I used my will, my life, my heart, my motives to gain or receive power, whether it was for myself or for the situation, whatever it is. But it's usually always for myself, you know. Even if it's for God, then it's not going to be a resentment. You know, I'm not going to be personally offended. Resentments are against me, you know, or me against someone else. So believe ourselves. What is ourselves? We or us personally, self. It's our being, a person's essential being that distinguishes them from others. So we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, our own personal being, okay? By one's own effort, by its own action, what I did, okay? It's our inventory, not others. So it's even what people have done to me and how I responded. What did it affect in me? You know, it talks about my pocketbook, my self-esteem. And, you know, I really think I should probably do that, even if it was just, you know, the first four or five steps. But it's really good when you see it, because it lays out how I feel I was affected. You know, and you're infected. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're affected. But and how now we turn it to God and what He says about those things, that He supplies all your needs. Once you get that revelation that God loves you and there's not a person, place, or thing that can love you, not even a microscopic cell more than God, then it frees you up, because there's nothing anybody in the world, no person, place, or thing can give you anything more. He's the one that gives you the strength. Not a person, place, or thing can give you more strength than God. More stability, more joy, more happiness, more anything, prosperity, everything God offers first, everything. If I believe God gave it to me first, then I have it. And I don't have to go to people, places, and things and look to them for it to be filled. Okay? Because He's already filled me up. So believing in God's deliverance is the key to true sobriety. I have to believe that God delivered me from these things. Okay? And that's faith, my faith in healing, in, you know, being, I believe that God already took care of he gave me patience. Why am I not using it? Tolerance when I'm responding against that. I have to look at that. I have to get honest with myself. It's not because of what the dog is doing. It's because of how I'm responding, you know, and we have power and authority here on earth and the power from heaven. So we have authority in the name of Jesus here on earth and the power of heaven. When those two things collide and we're in line, miracles happen. He wants us to use our authority and power here on earth. So when I speak to the waves, to the weather, the power and authority in faith, right, will yield or conform to whatever we're speaking. Hallelujah. When we speak healing. So we want their true sobriety. Jesus already delivered us. We need to be renewed in the mind to line up with the truth. It's the truth that makes us free. Making, I know we say the word set in some of our scriptures, but setting means putting somewhere. Making means creating. He created us free. He's taking what he created and he's taking from that creation to make something because we had to be renewed. So he remade, right? Renewed us. So he's taking it, the original plan, and remaking. He's making us as we walk out our life here with him. Okay? We're getting more and more free in the mind. Free in the mind to line up with our spirit man. So step four is a searching examination of self. Good and bad, fruit, gifts, and talents. Everything. We put it on paper. All right, and we look at this. So the foundation of even the program, 12-step programs, and true followers of Jesus Christ recognize God's spirit and truth, his word, okay, as supreme authority on what we should think and is the power of how we should live. So even in the literature of 12-step literature, where I'm getting, you know, the fourth step, you know, And 12-step is in lots of things. I mean, you could use 12-step in, like I said, here's resentments. That's anger. You can use this stuff to just look at yourself and get honest and give your life to God in those areas. You know, we want to hold back. Not God holding back. It's us holding back ourselves from him. He wants all of you. So the program of AA is practiced as God designed it to be, and if we practice these principles in all our affairs, then we will be in harmony with God's word, with him, his word, the word of God, and the world. Because even though the world is crazy and chaotic, when we are lined up with God's word, we have God's heart. We have his eyes, his ears, his words, you know, so we can see beyond the mess. Like he sees beyond our mess and look at people and have, what does he say? He had
compassion.
Thank you, James, which is love. We can have compassion. If we walked around with compassion, or even though this world is a big hot mess, mm-hmm. you know, we would be free, you know, from looking at all this craziness and wanting to help people and bring them into freedom, the kingdom of God, in the love of God. And that's the kind of heart that he's looking for us to demonstrate here on earth. Okay, so let's see. So let's talk a little bit about pride, our ego.
Oh, my. A little bit.
Pride looks outward versus humility looks inward. Praise the Lord, right? Pride, the ego, sees lack versus humility sees abundance. And this is why God wants our heart, you know, pure of heart, pure heart looking, not a distorted heart. He wants your pure heart, the spirit heart, to look at the world and people, places, and things. Pride is toxic and the root of all of our problems, period. It starts with me. The only reason why I have a problem in my life, if I say I got a problem, it's because I'm in it. Because if I was, I have no problems when I'm not involved in them, right? But if I'm saying, oh, this is my problem, that's my problem, I'm the common denominator in all the problems. I got to look at myself. So it's up to me. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. All right. And the way I look at resentment, like I said, is your bio is Jesus. That's your spirit, who you truly are, spirit man. Fear is psycho, your psychology. That's your mind, your soul, your will, your emotion. That's Holy Spirit solution. And sex harms, your relationships, harms done to others is your social need. And that's Father God. He wants you in his image and likeness. He wants you to think like him and act like him. All right. And 5 through 12 is what after this step, 5 through 12, we walk with the Spirit in the fullness of God, his divine nature. That's the goal, is so that we clean house, so that we know when we're not acting according to God. Okay. Yeah.
Just in humility isn't thinking, probably isn't thinking less of yourself. Because this worm mentality, oh, I'm just dirty
right. Right. Amen.
Because, no, we've been made sons. But it's thinking less about yourself, preferring the others before you, not thinking you're above people.
Amen.
We
That's
have dominion
really good.
Over the earth, but we don't have dominion over people.
That's right. That's good, James.
No matter how bad they're doing.
So 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So pride, your ego, rejects God versus humility embraces God and says, okay, here I am, Lord. And that means I have to give up my own selfish desires. Okay? Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So when we're humble, he's able to give us revelation of what, because we're not blocked by ourselves, you know, we're not blocking ourselves from him. He's able to teach us, lead us, guide us, reveal mysteries. You know, there are things that I could read the Bible every day, the same passage, and get something different. He'll give you more and more revelation. It's never ending. As long as you're here on earth, he's going to continue to teach you. There's higher levels to go to. You're never going to be done here on earth. So we need to examine our hearts. Is there any rebelliousness? Any pride is rebellion, okay? And that's what step four is about. It's about looking at myself. Where am I acting not according to the way God designed me and wills me to behave, speak, think, and act? Okay, Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. See? So he's testing. Faith tests the mind. His word tests the mind. All right? Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So you are what you eat. If you're eating the word, you're going to reap the word. You're eating the world, you're going to reap the world. You're eating anger, you're going to reap anger. So Luke 10:18-20 says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not reject this. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirit are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You're born again. Praise the Lord. That's the biggest miracle. That if, you know, we're looking for miracles. Look in the mirror. We're always looking outside of ourselves for the miracle. Look inside yourself. God has done so much. He's given you his divine spirit. Praise the Lord. So a thorough inventory, leaving nothing out. And we cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's stories in the Bible. And I'll read Acts 5:1-11, and then we'll probably not have much more time after that. And this is where Ananias and Sapphira, held back stuff. So this is where we can't lie to the Holy Spirit. We can't just hide behind a bush and say, I'm only going to give half a story, because you're going to have to share it with somebody. So you're thinking, I don't want that person to know, but God already knows. Okay, maybe I shouldn't. No, I'll read it. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also, being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself while it remained? Was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So you hid from God, basically, is what he did. It's like, Adam, where are you? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So I'm going to end there, but that's just an example. Go ahead, James.
I just want to say that.
And then you can pray.
Because there's way more corruption than that one. He wasn't even trying to steal anything. It was his money. He could have done what he wanted with it, but... The church was in a pure place at that time, and God was just, I believe, not going to let corruption come in because people are like, there's way worse than that happening nowadays, but God's going to clean it up.
Amen. And I'm going to reread that next week. So pray, James. I'm so sorry.
Anybody that doesn't know the Lord and you'd like to know him, you can start by praying this prayer and asking him in your heart. I'll lead you. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And you rose the third day.
And you rose the third day.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And be Lord of my life.
And be Lord of my life.
I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. Have a great week. God bless. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. From the walls of Jerusalem.